From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Patty White with the news on this day in Maine, Monday, July 15th, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
Maine Republicans attending the GOP National Convention in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, cast all of their delegates for former President Donald Trump today. Demi Kazunas, a Saco dentist who's running against independent Senator Angus King this fall, made the announcement during the roll call of votes from each state.
We stand here proudly with my delegation of 20 to cast all of our votes for the next president of the United States, Donald J. Trump.
Trump won more than 70% of the votes during Maine's Republican presidential primary in March, easily defeating former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley. Trump picked up one Electoral College vote from Maine in both 2016 and 2020 by winning in the 2nd Congressional District, but Republicans say they believe all four electors from Maine are in play this November. Workforce agencies in southern Maine plan to train more than 300 new construction and engineering workers for clean energy jobs in the state. A new $2 million grant will help them recruit unemployed and underemployed workers into career paths in the construction industry. Dave Worm, Senior Director of Workforce Services for Goodwill Northern New England, says workers will support renewable energy development, even if they don't work directly in the industry.
We have a list of kind of approved occupations that are in within those two career pathways, and those are all occupations that we know are either like directly tied to renewable energy or like adjacent.
The five-year program is funded by the U.S. Department of Labor. It's managed by Coastal Counties Workforce, Inc., which operates in York, Cumberland, Sagahawk, Lincoln, Waldo, and Knox counties. The University of Maine at Augusta is launching Maine's first Aviation Maintenance Technician program based at the Brunswick Landing Aviation Campus. The first cohort of 25 students will start classes next month. Students who complete the five-semester certificate program can immediately sit for Federal Aviation Administration exams for certification. The university heard from businesses in the aviation industry that there's a serious lack of technicians to hire, says program director Daniel LeClaire. He says LifeLight of Maine spent a year trying to recruit just one technician.
There's a feeling that without more aviation technicians, that the aviation business in the state of Maine is very much stifled.
LeClaire says he already knows of one business that's moved to Maine after hearing about the launch of the program and is already eager to hire students and graduates. Lewiston police say they're working with Maine State Police around the clock to investigate three shootings over the weekend, including one fatal. Officials say they received a 911 call around 10:30 Sunday night reporting shots fired on Rideout Avenue. When officers arrived, they found the body of a male later identified as 17-year-old Sahal Maridi. Witnesses told police they saw two vehicles fleeing the scene. One of the drivers has since been identified and is cooperating with investigators. An autopsy is being performed to determine the manner and cause of Maridi's death. Lewiston police say they're using crime prevention strategies to stabilize the recent uptick in violence, including increased patrols in high-crime areas. They encourage the public to remain vigilant and to call to report any suspicious activity. Maine has one of the oldest populations in the nation, and the Maine Center for Disease Control reports that cases of Lyme disease in adults 65 and older have grown at an alarming rate. In 2022, about 1,000 Lyme cases of the more than 2,600 reported were in that age group. Dr. Mark Abel, infectious disease physician at Northern Light Eastern Maine Medical Center, says he isn't sure exactly why that demographic is experiencing more tick-borne illness, but says older adults have weaker immune systems.
Certainly for other tick-borne infections, for anaplasmosis, babesiosis, for example, people who are older can have more severe complications. And certainly any infectious disease is, you know, more likely to be severe in people who are older or people with compromised immune systems.
In 2023, Maine had a record-breaking number of Lyme cases at more than 2,900. As of July 1st of this year, the state CDC is reporting 976 cases of Lyme, 391 cases of anaplasmosis, and 39 cases of babesiosis. June and July are the most active months for the smaller, younger stage of ticks that bite and cause illness in humans. Business was brisk at the last gun show before a new Maine law takes effect that establishes a 3-day waiting period to purchase firearms. It's a requirement that opponents say will sap attendance and potentially end these kinds of events. As Steve Missler reports, the 2-day show at the Elks Lodge in Augusta also doubled as a fundraiser for a pending legal challenge to the new law.
The Elks Lodge banquet hall was packed with people who perused an assortment of firearms and knives that ranged from modern to vintage. Randy Scheibels of Heartland leaned toward the latter when he purchased a Yugoslavian Mauser rifle from the post-World War II era.
I kind of am trying to be a collector of some older, more unique stuff, so anything I can get my hands on is good for me.
Scheibels was able to leave Saturday's show with his purchase, but that won't be the case after August 9th, when Maine joins nearly a dozen other states with a waiting period on firearm sales. Gun rights groups like the Gun Owners of Maine have vowed to challenge the constitutionality of the law, alongside their counterparts in Vermont and Colorado, who are also trying to overturn new waiting periods. The Augusta Gun Show will help fund the Maine lawsuit because the organizer, Freedom Promotions, is turning over proceeds from the event to the legal fight. Ryan Appleby, co-owner of Freedom Promotions, says the law will hurt gun shows because prospective attendees may not want to go if they can't leave with their purchase. He says that will primarily affect rural vendors because buyers may not want to go through the trouble of traveling to pick up their gun after the waiting period is over. And while vendors are trying to work out transfers between dealers, Appleby worries many prospective buyers just won't bother.
If even 20 or so percent of the customers don't want to deal with that, even though they know they can, but they just don't want to, that kind of brings attendance down enough in the bigger shows that it's probably not going to be feasible to do it.
The new waiting period law was passed by the legislature in response to the Lewiston shootings and as a way to prevent suicide by gun, which accounted for 90% of Maine gun deaths in 2021. Democratic Governor Janet Mills cited that statistic when she allowed the law to go into effect without her signature, a move reflecting her ambivalence to a measure she said might be, quote, constitutionally suspect. The law is championed by gun safety groups because it creates a cooling-off period for people who might purchase a gun during a moment of crisis. Activists have also noted that other states with waiting periods continue to have gun shows. Still, the law has angered gun rights groups that have vowed to hold the lawmakers who voted for it accountable in this fall's legislative elections. The lawsuit has not yet been filed, but Laura Whitcomb of the Gun Owners of Maine said she's confident that it will be successful. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
And the State Transportation Department says wind tunnel testing needs to be done before a suicide prevention barrier is installed on the Penobscot Narrows Bridge near Bucksport. Transportation Department spokesperson Paul Merrill says engineers want to determine how the bridge would react to wind with the addition of a fence.
Our original plan was to start this project as soon as the new lighting project was done. That project is done, but now we've got to do it. We've got to sharpen our pencils and do a little bit more design work before we get out with construction of the fencing.
The Penobscot Narrows Bridge opened in 2006. Merrill says the original construction model still exists and will play a role in the latest testing. He says the wind tunnel testing should take place this summer. A reminder that if you or someone you know is having a mental health crisis, there is help available by calling 988. Just those three numbers, 988, will reach the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 tomorrow morning, water safety. I'm Patty White. Thanks for listening.